It's a pleasure to be here. Normally we meet in the fireside room. I'm very familiar with the fireside room. Our history with this church goes back quite a long ways. Where's Jake? There you are. Okay, Jake was a little guy. He was really little when we first came, and we were in the fireside room, and his mom and dad brought him, and he's like, "Ooh, hello, Mr. Ed." It was really cute. Now look, he's all big. So it's been a while. We've got some history. Every time you see him, you know there's some history with the Enzes and this church. We're grateful that you've stood with us. Working in Cambodia is exhilarating for me. You know, if you're in the Lower Mainland, there's two choices always whenever you're heading towards the highway. The highway says Vancouver or Hope. And it's always good to know that Hope is not very far away in Canada. Now, I consider myself to be a Hope peddler, a vendor of hope in Cambodia. And it's a great place to work because they're so hopeless there. They need something like this. So I have exactly what they need. If you sell anything, you know that what I'm talking about. It's an entrepreneur's dream over there if you're selling hope. Anyways, that's what I do. I know a lot of you follow us on, perhaps on Facebook, or maybe you get our prayer letter in your email. There's a prayer letter that's posted over there on the welcome board. At the very bottom, it has our email address. I would love for you guys to send us a letter and say, "I'd love to follow you. Please send me your prayer letter." Only once a quarter. I won't bother you terribly much like that. But you can write to us and ask for more information all you want, okay? I just want to get that straight because I want to keep good relations with the church. There are those of you who pray regularly and give regularly to our work, and we are so grateful. I also covet a spot on the mission board. I think it's about there. Okay, if there's somebody who's responsible for that, I see that there's Kang and Amy twice. No need for them to have two. Yeah, that's just the way I am. Maybe blame it because I'm a third culture kid. Maybe some of you don't know that, but I am. If you've ever heard of this woman named Marie Enns, who goes around Canada with a troupe of little Cambodian dancers, that would be my mom. So I grew up in Cambodia from when I was 3 years old. So nothing surprises me about Cambodia anymore. And tourists come and they say to me, "David, show us something that's really different about Cambodia." And I say, "I don't really know. It all looks pretty normal to me." And then they go, "Whoa, look, 8 people on one scooter. I can't believe, how did they do that?" I'm like, you don't do that? Oh. Wow. So it's one thing, though, that they do there in Cambodia that we don't do so much here is they live in community. It's not strange to find grandparents, children, and grandchildren all living on one property, sort of a largish property, because the parents will have a house. Then when their kids are older and get married, they build a littler house off the side. And then they have kids, and those kids grow up. Did you get a good one, hon? Patty's also keeping track of my pictures. So you have a lot of people who live on one property, and they might even go and have supper together or something like that. So you have all this nice group of people with multiple ages and multiple stages of life all together. And I think it's something that's really healthy, but it's not something that we do. It's not even something that I do. Like I said, my mom's in Cambodia too. I don't live with her. Cambodians ask me, they say, "Oh, so your mom's here too. Where does she live with you?" I say, "No, she's over there at Bạch Tràng." "Oh, and you don't live there?" And I'm like, "Nuh-uh." Then they think, "Well, that's really strange. Why don't you live together?" And I say, "That's just because we don't do it exactly the same as you guys do." But that's just something so that you understand that Cambodia does it like that. We don't do it like that. Just a little something that's different about them. My parents went to Cambodia when I was 3. They were with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, so I am multiple generation CNMA missionary. And you all know about the CNMA and the Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, Coming King, and the idea of A.B. Simpson was to get the gospel into the whole world, because the Bible tells us that this gospel will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. And A.B. Simpson thought, one has to follow the other, so let's get this one done quick, and then Jesus can come back. I like that idea. 2 generations now we've been liking that idea. There are 440 CNMA churches across Canada, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused. We are living in a state of urgency because we want to get the gospel to many people, and we focus on the unreached people groups. Our membership worldwide is greater than 3 million people in 81 countries. The CNMA was the first missionaries to Cambodia. They translated the Bible, and my parents pioneered the province of Kampong Speu. Patty and I do not work in Kampong Speu, but we have had students who we work with that were from there. There are 5,000 members of the CNMA Church in Cambodia. And like I said, Patty and I work with university students that have come from the countryside and come to the city. We believe that we are uniquely placed in a position where we can expand the kingdom of God in Cambodia, but also change the face of Cambodia. And we want you to join with us to make this happen. Cambodia is split between those who are rich and those who are poor, those who live in the countryside, those who live in the city, those who are educated and those who are uneducated. The negative side on all of those things are the people who are in the countryside. The people in the city have more money. They have access to schools, electricity, running water, paved roads, cable TV, fast food, things that we take for granted here in Canada. The college and universities are in the big cities, so those kids that are from the big city can go and get an education. Now, in Cambodia, perhaps a family will say, we have, let's just go with an average-sized family, 5 kids. Okay, so 5 kids, they're in grade school, they're working their way, some of them get into high school, some of them they're saying, you know what, this one has a chance, let's bet the farm on this kid and send him to university. And when I say bet the farm, basically it means they will sell their cow. If they sell their cow, they no longer have a means to transport their product to the stores. They have no way to plow their fields, no way to rake their fields, no way to do so many things. A cow is not necessarily for food in Cambodia, although it has a lot to do with production of food. So if they sell their cow, that kid better perform. The kid goes into the city, maybe he even has a scholarship or she has a scholarship. And that way all she needs to do or he needs to do is find a place to stay. But they're so poor. They're so poor, those guys. They'll find a place maybe 2 meters by 2 meters. It's made out of corrugated tin. It's in the slums. It's hot. In that 2 meter by 2 meter is a little squatty potty and a sink over top of it, or just a tap. They have to lay their mat down. They have to study there, but also they have to park their motorcycle in there or their bicycle. It's surrounded by the lowest of society. There's prostitutes, addicts, and worst of all, karaoke. So not a great place to study. And because people are living in desperate times in that area, there's really strong chance that that motorcycle or that bicycle will get stolen. And when that bicycle gets stolen or the motorcycle gets stolen, the kid can't make it to school on time, and the school finally says, you know, you're just too many absences, too many tardies. You can't keep going to school. So the kid walks back home, because he's got no bike. He comes up and they're like, no cow? No cow, mom. Sorry. No degree? Nuh-uh. So they live in shame and poverty even more. So we see this problem and we decided what we should do is we should rent a structure, something. In Cambodia, they do these row houses. As I'm looking at this back wall, it kind of reminds me of them. Okay, they're just like 5 meters, 5 meters, 5 meters, 5 meters, like that. 4 stories high, and balconies that jut out. So it kind of resembles that a bit. Anyway, we rent one, and we house 12 kids in there. They eat there. They bring their own food. Again, very little. Some guys, a bowl of rice, duck egg. That's it. That's for their day. One guy said to me, "Oh, teacher, I was very bad to the environment. I nearly put ducks out of business. I ate ducks for breakfast, ducks for lunch, ducks for supper, ducks, and then balut in the evening." Yes, Cambodia like balut too. Partially ready to hatch duck eggs. Patty will eat as many as you give her. So anyways, we get them to sign a contract with us if they want to stay there. And we say that you'll need to be involved in a church. You'll need to be full-time in school. You'll need to study with us for 1.5 hours for 4 days a week. We teach them theology, discipleship, leadership, evangelism, and even some English. And the kids agree, and they give us about $2.50 a month for utilities. $2.50, I mean, for utilities. And then the thing runs, and they can get to school. Their motorcycles are parked. God even gave us a good place. It's on kind of like, don't want to call it a gated community, but it is it's a long cul-de-sac, and they do guard it at night because there's some movie stars that live down in there. So it's really secure. It's a really great place for them to study. And the kids live together, and we train them, and I say to them, "You are going to be watched by everybody, and you are going to be like a beacon that everybody can see." Because they're going to say, "How come there are 12 single boys and girls going into that building, and yet there's no hanky-panky?" That's not normal. And how come these kids all somehow live together and they love each other, but we know they're different? Some are from tribal. We can tell they're tribal. They're not even all Cambodian. There's Tampuang people. There's Kui people. There's Khmer people. Sometimes there's Jirai people. There's different kinds of people. But how can they all live together and how can they get along? And I said, people will notice that. Now, we put through 54 people through that dorm. We call it the Student Residence and Discipleship Center, SR and DC. Nearly all of them have graduated with a university degree. Some had to return home because they just didn't make the cut. Not with us, but with the school. We've seen them become teachers, bankers, engineers, accountants, nurses, clerks, businessmen and women. Some have graduated with honors and got their degree from the Prime Minister himself. Others are world travelers. One of them just posted pictures about riding the bullet train in China. Very proud of these guys. They're beacons for Christ in many parts of the world even. In Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, it's nothing new to you. You've heard of the Sermon on the Mount. You've also heard where Jesus talks about salt and light. Not even going to use both salt and light. I'm just going to use the light part. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do we light a lamp and place it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, some things that I just want to highlight here, of course, we know that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Sometimes when I'm driving into Vancouver, I get about, probably this far, and I look and I say, wow, in the evening, you know, when it's all dark, I say, those stars right on the, just above Vancouver, those are really bright. I'm like, oh no, that's Whistler. But that's the whole idea of a light on a hill. Think about how far you can see the lights of Whistler, the lights of the resorts that are on the hills. You can see them from miles around. Another thing is when Jesus says, you don't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Nobody was confused with that. Nobody said, oh, what? We always do that. No, everybody knows you light a light, you put it up, people can see if you put the light up. And the other thing I wanted to highlight too was this, where Jesus says that they may see your good deeds and then give you a pat on the back. No, when they see your good deeds, they glorify God. That's where the glory is supposed to go. Your good deeds, the things that you do, are supposed to be getting glory for God. So that's the thing where you want to concentrate on when you do good things. And you are to be doing good things. We are good people, Christians. At one point, when we were considering about how we were going to continue with the Student Residence and Discipleship Center, we saw our numbers were, we needed to get some new students. And so we said, all right, if we're going to get new students, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to advertise out in the countryside. But it's really difficult to find the youth that are in need. And I think we just did poor advertising, but our numbers began getting a little bit low. And so we said, all right, one of the things that we could do is normally we have Christian kids that come from the countryside. Maybe we'll just get some non-Christian kids, or one kid, or one girl. Yeah, let's get a girl, we thought, because boys are so mischievous. So we'll get one girl, easy to manage, and we'll let her come and stay at the dorm. And we'll watch her like a hawk, make sure she doesn't bring any weird stuff in. You know, Letkana came and stayed with us, and it wasn't probably 3 weeks. And she talked to the dorm leader, another girl, said to her, there's something about this group. You all get along like a loving family. I don't know what it is, but I want it, whatever it is. And she says, because we have Jesus. It's the Spirit of God living in us. And she said, I want it. So Letkana came to see Patty with the dorm leader. And Patty explained a little bit about how to become a Christian. And Letkana accepted Christ. That's a good thing. That's one. So we were like really happy with that. And it encouraged us because we thought, that wasn't so bad. That actually worked out very well. So if there's another girl and she needs to stay in the dorm, she can come too. Sure enough, there was. Young lady named Muntra. So Muntra came to stay at the dorm. Muntra was a little bit pretty and kind of, you know, I was like, this one could be a problem kid. But you know what? She didn't last 3 weeks. She came and see the dorm leader and she said, whatever this group has, I want this. I want this. I want this relationship where you love each other like this. I like this relationship. They brought her to Patty. Patty prayed with her. Patty said to the dorm leader, you know, you don't need to bring people to me. I'm not any magical person or anything. You have heard from Pastor David, how to pray with people. So do that. She said, okay, we know how. Well, we were really excited about that, you know. Two for two, that's good. And the guy who posted the pictures of riding the bullet train, who had used to be a dorm leader, he said, I know a couple of guys. They like to come and stay at the dorm. They're not Christians, though, but they're not really followers of anything. They're just, you know, young guys. And we thought, oh, boy, two boys. Okay, yeah, you can come. So we let them come, and we said, now they're going to have to study. They're going to have to study theology and discipleship and leadership and, you know, will they? Oh, yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll do it. Their English was terrible, but that's not what we want to teach. Just for fun, I teach it a little bit. So these guys are there, and they began to practice the kids that were learning how to do evangelism, they started to fish. And they got those guys interested. And the guys said, yeah, there's something this group has. It's very attractive. We'd really like to investigate this a little further. And when the dorm leader called me, he said, you remember those guys that did not believe in Jesus last week? Well, now they do. And it was great because my fruit had fruit. All right? Now, ask yourselves, if you can get some fruit, that's a plus. Pastor's thumbs up, right? You want fruit. But now if your fruit gets fruit, that's cooking. That's cooking with gas. That's what we want to do. And that's why this time when I come back to Canada and I'm thinking, my fruit's got fruit. I'm second-generation missionary. I've got great-grandchildren or whatever, however you say, in Christ. So it's exciting for us. Now you saw, well, if you want, you can remember these four names and you can pray for them. Lekana, Muntra, Chan, and Chri. Have you got it? If you don't, you can just say to God, those four kids. He knows who you're talking about. Or you can get one of our prayer letters and you can see their names are written out in there. But whatever. They're now involved with the New Jerusalem Church, all four of them. They're part of the evangelism teams. They go out. The message is still fresh. The excitement is still there. They're putting that out into the villages and talking to people there. We're so excited about it. Now, you saw pictures of my grandkids. They're cute. I've got a little less, about like a half a month to go before we leave. We spend as much time as we can with them, with the ones in Blaine. The one in Toronto, I guess I'll have to do more FaceTime with him. But that's it. Then I have to leave. And Canada has so much to offer. My goodness, we enjoyed those cherries. We were over at Walmart every couple of days, getting them for cheap. Now, there's so many other good things about Canada. That's why there's so many Southeast Asians and Asians in the congregation. This reminds me a lot of our church in Penobscot with the live band. That's excellent stuff. I'm grateful to all of you guys. You really sing well, too. I was so excited. So with all the good things that are available here in Canada, some people say to me, David, is it worth it? Aren't you about ready to retire? Yeah, I'm ready, almost ready to retire, 61 or 2. Can't tell, it changes every year. But yeah, I could. I could stop. But you know what? This is like my drug. I love this. I love going over there. I love being a hope peddler to hopeless people. Let me tell you about Ravi. You can get a, if you go out and look on the welcome board, you'll see what I mean by this girl has a huge smile. It's like this big, all teeth. I don't know anybody, or I don't see anybody smiling like that here. But seriously, big old smile. Go and look at it as you're copying down our email address. She's got several strikes against her. In Cambodia, they're very chauvinistic, I suppose, or whatever, but they're very, a strike against this person might be that she's female, she's short, she's tribal, and she's poor. So the girl has four strikes against her. And she comes to the city, she wants to become a geography teacher. And she doesn't speak any English. In fact, Cambodian is her second language because she's from the Kui tribe. It's a small, unreached tribe in Cambodia. And she comes to Phnom Penh City, and she begins to study with us, and she's so shy. You can't believe how she wouldn't even look at me. I had to force her. I kept, like, trying to catch her eyes, like this in the classroom, moving around, trying to catch her eyes. She got more confident. She learned from what she heard at church. She learned from what she was taught by Patty and I and the other people that teach at the dorm. And she became more and more confident to the place where she was a fairly strong Christian and a good representative of our work. And one day she came to me and she said, "Teacher, my mom has had a stroke, so I would beg permission to go back to the village." I said, "Please go back to the village. Take care of your mom. We'll be praying for her. Send us information. Make sure you check with your school that they allow you time off." And she said, "Yeah, they do." So off she went. And the hospital had said, "The woman has had a stroke." In Cambodian, the word for stroke is dead half your body. So that's kind of what happens with a stroke. And they said, "There's nothing we can do for her, so she's going to have to go home, and you can take care of her, but she's just dead on half her body." So Ravi took care of her mom with Piset. Piset is her sister, another Christian. Those two are the only Christians in their family. And then the people said, "We will get mom better." They're not Buddhist. Their tribe is animist. They believe in spirits. They have shaman, witch doctors. So they got the big shaman to come, and he was going to do this big ceremony. And he said, "But first I need the bones of grandma, this woman's mother's bones. Bring me them from the woods, from wherever you buried her, and I will contact her spirit, and then we will have that spirit come and get into mom and make her better." And there was blood from, I don't know what they sacrificed, a chicken or a cow or something. And I wasn't there, but another missionary was. And she said to me, "David, it was so haunting, so evil, so oppressive, the whole thing." But in that room was Piset and Ravi. And they had been told, "You should recant. You should stop being a Christian." And Ravi and her sister said, "We can't recant." So they didn't. But they sat in the room, and the witch doctor started his thing. And he was trying to contact the spirits in that. And at one point, he finally just stopped, and he said, "I can go no further. There are two roads in the room, and I'm blocked." Now, that's exciting. When I told the kids at the school, the dorm there, I told this story, they were like, "Ooh, teacher, chicken skin." Goosebumps, chicken skin, pretty much the same. But it's true. There's big power there. Ravi and Piset sit in that room with all those other people and the witch doctor, and the witch doctor is stopped because of a girl with four strikes against her. That's some kind of stuff. That gets me going. I love to be on the winning team. Patty and I were missionaries in France. Those of you who follow World Cup soccer know how happy that made us. Two stars, baby. It's fun. And to be able to be part of that, yes, I'll go back. It's hard to have a grandson, the name-bearing grandson, 12 time zones around the world from me. But thanks to technology, I can look at his face pretty easily. But that's what gets me going. You know what I want you to pray for? Don't pray for that. You could pray that Ravi's mom would get better. But I just worry that then the people will say, "Good job, Shaman, you did it." Right? I covet her soul. Pray for her soul. Pray that she will say, "Wow, what in the world does my daughter have? What do my daughters have that stops the shaman? I want part of that." Right? So let's pray for that. Let's pray that Ravi's mom will come to know Jesus. And that's what gets me going. That's what sends me back. And Ravi came back and she finished. And if you'll read the prayer letter, she was one of those that graduated. And she's now on her way to becoming a teacher of geography in Cambodia. It's exciting. This morning, I want to encourage you to let your light shine. Now, I go to Cambodia, and Patty, we go to Cambodia Because we speak Cambodian, and we've been working with Cambodian people, and that's natural for us to do that. But there are people around you here. That's your circle of influence. Those people you meet, you shop at their shop, you get your nails done, you get your hair cut, you go to their garage. There's things that you do, people that you meet. And they're people that I don't meet. Okay? So that's up to you. I'll do the Cambodia bit, you do the Richmond bit. All right? You let your light shine, because all of you have the light that shines in you. Now, when we came back this time, it was quite surprising because there's all this, oh, that offends me nonsense. Now, okay, I don't like to ever offend anyone, so if I offended you by saying that you're offended by what I... All right, I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. No. We should never be sorry about being Christians. Right? A tree bears fruit. A tree that does not bear fruit, a whole different sermon, the branches get chopped off. But the tree that bears fruit, those fruits are good fruits. The fruit of the Spirit, you know them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the next verse says what? Against these things there are no laws. No one is offended. You in the front, too joyful. Way too peaceful. Way too long-suffering over there. It's good. These are things that everybody wants. Everybody wants the things that Christians have in the Spirit. So when you're going and telling people about the good news, make it good news. Now, there are a lot of ways to make the gospel attractive, but most of the time you meet people and they're like, no, I don't want it. It's because somebody made it unattractive. Everybody wants the gospel. It's good news. Okay, here's another story. Before I was a missionary, I sold chips for Hostess Frito-Lay. Sorry to you old Dutch guys. But I sold chips for Hostess Frito-Lay. And before I could be a missionary, I needed to work at Hostess Frito-Lay. But I learned how to sell some chips. I learned how to tell you that these are chips that are fried crispy in sunflower seed oil. This comes in a Mylar bag, so the light does not get in. Freshness stays in. The date on the outside, it won't even get close to that date. I'll replace your stock with nice chips. The flavors, best in Canada, the most tasty. The ruffles, oh my goodness, you can hold so much dip on that. All right, I can sell you chips. I could get 16 feet right here in the sanctuary. I can sell that. Or I could say, how about a bag of carbs deep fried in fat so that it's going to turn into cholesterol and plug your arteries up and you'll be dead. If you ever get some of that ketchup stuff on your shirt, you'll never wear it, get that out. Okay, I could sell it like that, right? So much for my 16 feet. Both are true. One is good news, one is bad news. When you're selling, sorry if that's not a good word to use with the gospel, but in a sense, that's what we do. When you're presenting the gospel, make it good news. You don't need to tell them, you're going to need to stop that. Don't tell them any of that. Let the Spirit tell them that. You just make it good. Focus on the good points. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are all positive things. Those are the things that people near you want to find out about you. Your light is shining. You can't shut it off unless you put it under a bowl. But your light is shining, and people can tell. Your job is to make sure that they hear good news from you. Now, we're going to reach the Cambodian people. You're going to reach your people. I invite you to join us in facilitating a future for Cambodian university students, a future where they can learn and be discipled, be equipped to storm the gates of hell and break them down. If you want to partner with us, please see us in the back, or contact us with the email address on the prayer letter. Follow us on whatever way you can. And we want to make a real change. We'll do the part in Cambodia, and you can do the part here in Richmond. We long to have a relationship where we can both celebrate together. Thank you very much. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the good news. Thank you that it is really, really good news. Help us to be bold. Give us opportunities. Line things up for us so that we have 15, 20 minutes to share with somebody. Help us to be positive and to just want to share what's been freely given to us. This is a big world, and it's getting it to look like a dark world. And we want to be bright lights shining. And we want our good works to be noticed, but we want the glory to go to the Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.